Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Susan B. Landrum. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 23 and Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Central Sunday morning service for the 26th of April, 2026, fourth Sunday of Easter, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Thank you, Gabby, and thank you, Ella. And thank you all for leading us in worship today. We're very grateful. Get it situated up here. So I have a couple of what are commonly called core memories from my church growing up. The first is the wide expanse of the bluest royal blue carpet you can imagine. Every corner of that sanctuary was covered in that particular color. And of course, in my young mind, the place felt so gigantic, and so all of that blue felt as wide as the ocean. I promise you, this is not a sermon about carpet. Because the other memory is that every week we sang Psalm 23. It was part of the confession sequence, the response to the assurance of pardon. And while I must admit that the more upbeat glory to God that we all just sang has become a favorite, there is certainly power in repetition. As a result of singing Psalm 23 over and over and over throughout my childhood, I now know it. It is a text that lives with me. I will admit to you all that I sometimes find myself singing the words in the mornings. I won't do that for you right now. As I get ready for the day or while driving to work in traffic, which I think we all know is increasingly terrible. So the imagery of still waters and the wide table slows my breath. It steadies my heart. Psalm 23 is a prayer, it is a poem, and it is a meditation. I'm sure that many of us gathered here feel the same way. We often read it as a text of comfort, necessarily a part of memorial services. And while it surely is that, I am reading it a bit differently this week. Perhaps it's because I've had our confirmation process on my mind, but this week I hear Psalm 23 as a kind of faith statement. If the words "I believe" preceded many of the lines in the text, we would hear the echoes of our very own confirmation class speaking to us. I believe that the Lord is my shepherd. I believe that the Lord restores my soul. I believe that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Our confirmation class culminated in these 10 amazing people drafting their own faith statements, grounded in what they believe and the questions that they carry. Throughout worship today, you have already heard and will continue to hear these statements in our liturgy. And with the class's permission, I did secure that in advance. I'll be quoting them in this sermon. So if Psalm 23 is making me think of a faith statement, then this passage from Acts sounds like the best confirmation curriculum that I could dream up. And here is why. It outlines experiences that built the early church and that we hope to experience together today. The awe and the mystery that came over the apostles and their faith, the unity we find in shared belief and practice, a faith life that is punctuated by the sacraments of baptism and a community to journey with through life and to serve God's creation together. In my life as a social worker, including my previous work with youth, we always talked about process over product. In other words, how we got something done as a community was way more important than what we actually got done. I hear this in the Acts text, and we lived it over the course of confirmation. After all, church is all process, certainly with God at the center. Acts is not just a piece of Christian history, but it is an outline of a process, the process we can look back to and see exactly how our early siblings in the faith were figuring out what it means to be Christ's community. And our confirmation class itself is a microcosm of the church. Different people with different questions, coming together to learn with and from one another. And so, friends, we learned what church is by being church. The process of learning together, of breaking bread together, of worshiping together and serving together led us to each of our confirmands' faith statements and inspired me to look at my own. It took being in community with one another over many hours and in many different ways to put the words down on paper. The words describe the process as closely as words ever can. And what we know and what we often return to is faith is not static, it is dynamic. Faith is alive because it exists inside and between God and us. It is a practice. And we put this practice into action right here at church. To quote Gabby says, "I believe in the impact of community at church. I believe that having a supportive network of all people, of different races, genders, and ages, is one of the best things about church." Gabby sees that our diversity is actually our unity. That, as Acts tells us, all who believed were together. Now, I will say, unlike the text, this class of confirmands and this congregation does not have all things in common if we take that literally. Rather, our togetherness reflects the beauty of a community that is united by our different perspectives on God and the church. What energizes me might not be what energizes you, and what I wonder about might not be something that you wonder about. It could be something that you are certain of. And yet together, what we do have in common is a commitment to a faith that is lived out loud, a faith that is reflected back to us through our relationships with one another. Now Bruno reminds us that church is also a place to serve the world around us, not just to look inward at ourselves, but to look out beyond the walls of Central. He says, "I think it's really generous that everybody at church wants to help each other and the people who are less fortunate." His view of the church aligns with Acts. It is a place where we are called to give something up, to sell our possessions and distribute the proceeds, not because there is not enough, but because God's abundance is meant to be shared. God's abundance is an entirely different economy than the one that we encounter outside of church. Friends, Beth connects this to the church's relevance to us because, as she says, the church matters because it is a safe space for a lot of people and a space for community and for joy. So if we bring these commitments to our lives together in the church, as our confirmands attest, and if we draw on the tradition of our earliest ancestors, our lives will be full of joy, our hearts made glad and generous. And at the center of this transformative joy is God. This is not a fleeting happiness. This joy is a reaction to the work of God in us, in community, and in relationship. I am talking about God as a joyful, dynamic center, a centrifugal force. God is the giver of joy and the receiver of our delight. So, when I returned to Psalm 23, after hearing the echoes of our confirmands' faith statements about church, I heard their testimony to who God is at the center of all of this. Liam begins at the very beginning. Liam says that he believes God is the Holy One, the source and sustainer of all creatures and all life. This is the God that is the dynamic center of everything, that is vast and expansive, that is imbued in all of life. And then Ella brings us close, sharing that she believes in God's unconditional love for everyone, that God has a plan for her and for all of us, with her best interests at heart, and our best interest, and that God knows our deepest desires and our biggest wishes, and God created us and everything that we love. Ella, I can't help but think of the God in Psalm 39, the one who knows us, the one who knits us together, who declares that we are wonderfully and fearfully made, no matter what. Julia sees this, as she reminds us that God is someone you can look to when you are confused or scared. God will not judge you or think less of you based on your actions or what you do. What a comfort. We can trust in the one who walks with us through dark valleys and leads us to renewed places. And this renewal happens in so many ways, as Louisa points out. Louisa says, God is the beauty in all things, from relationships and words to music and the outdoors. And that these things, all of these things, are embodiments of the Holy Spirit. She believes in the God that comes to us in three persons and is in all parts of our lives and all expressions of creativity and interconnections with one another. Guy searches through language to name God in dynamic ways. He writes that the words that come to my mind when I think of God are loving, mighty, strong, and unstoppable. Friends, love is first on the list, followed by other words of movement and strength. So, oh, friends, to believe in a God who is an unstoppable force of strong and mighty love. Let us be moved by these words and the words to come and these insights of our confirmation class. And let us all remember that writing down and putting into words what we believe is a faithful act, and one we should do often, one we should revisit. Yet in the words of Barbara Brown Taylor, I do want to point out that words are ciphers. They stand in for something that is bigger and wider than anything we can pin down in a letter, a word, or a phrase. Faith is that big. God is certainly that big. And so our faith is multimodal, not to be confined to just words, but existing in the fullness of our lives in the process of living. And at the center of all of that living is our holy God. Kai believes that God helps people, and we can talk to God through prayer. Kai says that Kai is excited to keep growing closer to God. And so, like our siblings in Acts, Kai knows that we must actively grow in our relationship with the one who created us and calls us by name. God is for us, and that means that God wants to know us. What I have experienced alongside this class over the last 6 months is this God. The God who forms us, who shepherds us, who sustains us, and the God who is calling us over and over and over again. And that call is into the church. It is into the church and it is into the world. But this church is the physical and the spiritual space where we get to live our faith out loud. Together, we truly had the opportunity to do all of the things that Acts sums up. We devoted ourselves to prayer, to teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and just as our siblings in the faith did so long ago, we felt connected to each other and to our God. And I can say that my faith is certainly not the same after having had this experience with these people. I hope all of us see and experience the God described by these faithful, faithful people here at church, in a safe place that welcomes us entirely, that holds us in our own questions. And I hope we experience God in unexpected places, or like Amelia offers to us. God, to me, is prayers being answered and people being heard and seen. God, to me, is coincidences and people blowing on dandelions and wishing at 11:11. As the psalmist reminds us, God wants nothing but goodness and mercy for us. And like our early church siblings remind us, we do not have to do anything alone. We have one another. We can support one another and bring joy to one another's doorstep. We can support one another where joy is really hard to find. The greatest gift of faith is that it exists all around us, and that God is both everywhere and right beside us in our relationships with one another. And when we doubt that, and we all do, all of us, that is a part of life. Please remember that we have one another. We have one another to stand in the gap, and we have one another to be the church with. Today, I give thanks to God for that. Amen. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.